This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I should just tell you, of course, I did everything. No, I didn't do everything. A lot of things I didn't do back in the late 60s and through the early to mid 70s. And I remember my first wife, Geneva, and I went to Brooklyn and visited a psychiatrist and his wife who were working colleagues with Timothy Leary.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So we tried their substance to go on. I don't want to get heavy into the drug aspect of it. Unless, of course, the drug experience is inducing the seeing of strange phenomena.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as a product of the 60s, a lot of us baby boomers experimented with hallucinogens. We thought it was a gateway to spirituality, maybe a way to look into the face of God, all that. But I did my first LSD trip when I was in Hawaii, Waikiki Beach. I had no idea what was going to happen. I thought it was going to levitate. I thought dragons were going to jump out of the trees and out of the bushes. But that's where I was. And I remember the Beatles' Rain and Frank Nancy Sinatra's Something Stupid playing. And those were the first two songs that I was tripping on. But anyway, having said that, I had a career as a drug and alcohol counselor. I was in charge of a drug and alcohol program. I don't do drugs now, but I did back then. And you know what? I had pleasurable experiences. They're hallucinogens. You know, they don't cause brain damage or anything else. All they do is titillate the part of your brain responsible for perception. And all those critics back then got it wrong. You know, today I wouldn't touch this stuff because God knows what's in it. But back in the day, there was a lot of clean stuff that was on the streets. And, you know, anyway, that's my story. I don't want to make this I don't want the feds to come after me. But anyway,
they're coming to take you away.
Yeah, the CIA later on had that, I think it was called MK Ultra, and they experimented with the LSD. They gave it to these scientists. They gave it to Johns that were seeing prostitutes, which must have been a real trip. But they did that just to watch and see what was going to happen. And, you know, they thought that there was a possibility, there might be a military advantage of using LSD and the hallucinogen. So when our friend Al Bielak talked about Montauk, you know, I'm thinking that, you know, certainly the government did experiment with mind control and they had to have a place for it. So why not Montauk on Long Island? I mean, I don't know. You know, I mean, it could all be out there in Arizona next to you, Gene, but I don't know. But it was the MK Ultra, and that was the CIA that admitted to that. So, I mean, they did a whole lot of things.
One of the things I should point out is that even though I really do have my doubts about Al Bielak, one of the things that he mentioned at the at Camp Hero was that there was a building where they conducted the LSD experiments. And I can't remember what he called it. I think it was called like the Fun House or something like that. But he said that the walls were brightly painted with psychedelic colors and patterns. Well, later, other people who snuck onto the then debunked closed down base,
yeah,
actually found this building. I mean, it's an actual building, and there are rooms that are brightly still, even though it's long abandoned, painted in psychedelic colors. So, you know, I mean, that's the odd thing about Bielak, mm-hmm, is that a lot of his stories just are, I mean, they're just at the worst science fiction.
Yeah.
Yet he may have been involved in something. One of the other things is that there was a video that was put out that had Al taking people to these underground tunnels beneath Camp Hero. And Al knew exactly where they were located. And most of these tunnels, I mean, you'd have to go into a building and then find the secret entrance, so to speak, to get into them. And Al knew where these entrances were. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, his is a strange story. And like I said, I think that a lot of it could be made up or induced.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously he had been at Camp Hero before sometime in the past.
Yeah. He claimed that he was he got a degree from Princeton. And I think that's been debunked, but that's, I believe. But
he was, I think it was an electrical engineer. Of I guess a very good electrical engineer that was had worked for, I guess, a number of what would it be? It would be civilian companies that had government contracts.
Gotcha.
The Jacques Vallée wrote about Bielik in one of his books. Not like Revelations or Dimensions, but, you know, it was like, you know, I can't remember which one it was. But it's just a couple of casual mentions of this, you know, engineer who was at these conferences by the name of Al Bielik. And this was long before Bielik came out about the whole Philadelphia experiment thing.
Yeah, yeah. Another interesting character, you know, in the narrative. Yeah, I have a letter from Stanton T. Friedman, and a nuclear physicist and lecturer. And this was dated January 29th, 1989. And if I could, I'd like to read it to you. I had contacted Stanton about the Philadelphia experiment.
During his lifetime, Stan was a frequent guest on the PowerCast. I knew the guy for like 30 years. I disagreed with him mightily on such things as the MJ-12 documents. But he seems sincere enough. What can I say? Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He thought the documents were authentic, or at least part of it was. But anyway, he said here's Stan's letter to me. Dear Mr. Fuhrer, the best source of information about the Philadelphia experiment is William L. Moore, a close colleague and a very busy researcher. He co-authored the Philadelphia experiment with Charles Berlitz and did most of the hard research. I believe you will find no evidence, and listen to this, I believe you will find no evidence for a teleportation or a practical joke, and lots of evidence for an attempted effort to make ships invisible to radar, which would have been a great victory had it been successfully achieved. He can be reached at the address given on the enclosed list of UFO materials. I should warn you that there is far more solid material available about UFOs than most journalists and authors expect, from the 6 PhD thesis to lots of solid papers by scientists with a long-term interest. Some seem to believe there is only the tabloid junk. Back to Philadelphia Experiment, the movie used the title but not the story of the book by Moore. Good luck in your search. Most cordially, Stanton T. Friedman. And then also I had about 5 sheets of paper with articles that he had written that were for sale. And it was a similar as with William L. Moore. You know, when I got correspondence from him, I got all this stuff to buy his updates on the Philadelphia experiment for $7, you know. And at the time, this letter from Stanton Friedman was from New Brunswick, Canada. And I think the last thing he did before he died was the Betty and Barney Hill. I think he got together with maybe Betty's daughter, and they co-wrote a book. Is that correct?
It's Kathleen Marden, Betty Hill's niece.
Okay,
and they got together and wrote a book, and this was probably a few years before Stanton died, so
yeah.
We'll go from that. But you mentioned William L. Moore, who is an interesting character unto himself. As you say, he did most of the research for the Berlitz book on the Philadelphia experiment. Friedman did a lot of research with Moore and Berlitz on the Roswell book, got barely a credit.
Exactly.
Even though he claimed to have done a lot of the work, he got barely a credit, but that's how it works. I got credits in the Philadelphia experiment, too. I don't know what contribution I made to it, except giving Berlitz some information maybe he looked for. Have you had any contact with Moore?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I have a letter here from him. This is
let us do that in the next segment. Sure, Maxim Furek, starting out with The Philadelphia Experiment. Mysterious, isn't it? That, of course, that's how it sounded back then. Going through time with Gene and Tim, you're in
The Paracast.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. Let's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
Hey, Jimmy, turn off the video games. Let's go play some ball.
I'm in the middle of my game. Can't we go later?
Come on, it'll be fun. It will be there when you get back.
Okay, but there's no way you're gonna win.
Why don't you grab some water and granola bars, and then we'll see about that.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We have to say William Moore is kind of infamous because he admitted at a MUFON session, what, in 1989, was it, Tim, that he had functioned as someone doing this information for the Air Force working with Richard Doty?
Yes.
You see, I remember. So tell us, Maxim, about your contact with William Moore.
Yeah, and that's sort of like the end note with him anyway. You know, July 1989, it was at the MUFON symposium in Las Vegas, and he confessed that he was a spy, and he tried to discredit his colleagues and spread this information. But I had contacted him, and I received a letter from him in February of 1989. So this is his letter to me. Dear Mr. Furyk, I was rather fascinated by the practical joke explanation now being circulated by the National Archives. And what I did was I had contacted the National Archives asking for information on the Philadelphia experiment. And I'll read that at some point. But they claimed that it was a practical joke that just went haywire and just took on a life of its own. But I shared that with William Moore. He said that I was rather fascinated by the practical joke explanation now being circulated by the National Archives. It seems that they, too, are rather confused about what really happened. Since I have spoken with Mr. von Donhoff, that's the gentleman I spoke with, on several different occasions while conducting research at the archives, I shall endeavor to set him straight on the matter by phone. Meanwhile, I enclose news clippings, which I believe should serve to clear up any questions you may have. The story about the Antietam is covered in my book. I expect whomever told it to you got it from there. No, I heard it directly from Fred Tracy. And to tell the truth, I read the Philadelphia Experiment. I don't remember reading about the Antietam there. I did read about it in his updates. William Moore would have these Philadelphia Experiment updates for $7. I have one of those. But if I can be of any further assistance, please write. Very truly yours, William L. Moore. Unfortunately, after his involvement with MJ-12 and Jamie Shandera and all that, and then what he said in 1989, I mean, he's sort of, you know, I think he's disgraced himself. And, you know, you don't hear anything, you know, honorable about William Moore, which is, you know, which is too bad. I mean, he published the Roswell incident with Berlitz and the Philadelphia experiment with Berlitz. Too bad. But I guess Richard Doty was part of that as well, right? I believe he was the Air Force contact. And I'm just curious, what information do you suppose that Richard Doty was giving William Moore that he disseminated?
That was part of a whole Paul Benowitz disinformation campaign. Yep. That Moore was a part of under the direction of Doty. Yep. And you had talked earlier about Phil Schneider and talking about the dumb bases and the whole Dulce thing. All of that came directly from the disinformation that was being fed to Paul Benowitz. The alien treaty, the fight with the Greys, all of that, and stuff that is still prominent in certain aspects of the UFO community.
Okay.
For reference, by the way, we did feature Rick Doty on the Paracast back on March 18th, 2018. I would say this, when it comes to Doty, you can believe maybe half of what he says. The problem is, which half? Go ahead, Max.
That's good, yeah. So if there's disinformation, I take it that it's some sort of a smokescreen, that they want you to go and focus over here rather than over here. So they're doing it for a reason. I'm wondering what they're trying to keep us away from. I mean, what is that all about? And that's the real dealio right here. Whether it's Roswell or Philadelphia Experiment or Montauk or whatever, you know, I think that there's something that they want to keep us away from. So they either exaggerate it and make it seem just totally bizarre and outlandish, that nobody's going to believe it, or they take us in another direction so that we're not looking at A, but we're looking at maybe B, C, or D. So, I mean, there has to be a purpose to this. I mean, they don't just do this to mess with us.
Well, the MJ-12 documents were also given to a certain extent to Linda Moulton Howe before they showed up as photographs in the mail to Jamie Chandran. But Howe was working on a documentary for HBO and was contacted by Doty, who told her that the military, the government, was interested in releasing information about UFOs. Brought her into the Kirtland Air Force Base in New Mexico, and she wasn't allowed to record or to take notes. It all had to be memory. And she was told basically the same information that later would come out in the MK-12 documents.
Okay.
The British UFO researcher, Timothy Good, got documents in the mail. And he actually went and quickly released them in a book. So yeah, the same kind of material was being circulated around, probably by Doty, but like you said, for what reasons at that particular time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. A number of people believe that the MJ-12 documents were legitimate. They're all over the internet. I mean, you could see them. I think on page 3 they mention that after Admiral Forrestal died, that they need a replacement for him. So his name's mentioned on page 3 of the document. But
well, nowhere else in the government archives is there any mention of MJ-12 magic. MAJIC, which was supposed to be, I guess, an offshoot of MJ-12. It was just the, and of course, the main documents that everyone talks about weren't physical documents. They were photographs on a roll of film.
Right. Yeah, the FBI called them bogus. And I think they researched them extensively.
The thing about the MJ-12 documents or any of these things, I try not to say a lot about them. Of course, on this show, we kind of have to, especially in light of talking about the Philadelphia experiment and all the ramifications of all the other things that happened to the people involved, is that when you draw attention to some of these fake things, you take away attention. We don't have a lot of time to pay attention to things. You take away attention from a real phenomenon that's going on. People are seeing UFOs. We still have no idea what they are. And a lot of these side issues are entertaining, but they don't always take us to a conclusion. And in saying that, I do want to continue exploring this one, because this way, at least if there's any government participation involved, we get a better idea of how they work with regard to UFOs and side issues. Maxim, Gene, and Tim, you're in
the Pentecost.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
The Jersey News Update. Three Israeli hostages reportedly waving a white flag were tragically killed by Israel's military in the Gaza Strip on Friday. Questions have risen globally about the misidentification of these captives who were taken by Hamas on October 7th and were fatally perceived as a threat by Israeli troops. The incident occurred in an area of intense recent fighting, leading to concerns about the tragic consequences of the misidentification. The end of the weekend could be a little rough along the east coast of the country, Dave Collins explains.
A significant storm is moving up the east coast with heavy rain and strong winds, causing some flooding and downed trees and wires and unseasonably warm temps Sunday into Monday. While weather can change at a moment's notice, it looks like the track of the storm will be from the Chesapeake Bay area to the southern New England area.
President Biden's job approval rating has reached another record low. According to a recent Pew Research Center poll, only 33% of Americans approve of the president's job performance. Skip Kelly, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Using a paid tax preparer this year? Before paying someone to do your taxes, make sure they're qualified. Ask about their fees, experience, and training. Check with a Better Business Bureau. Avoid anyone who promises a higher refund. And review your tax return before you sign it. And make sure your preparer signs it too. For more tips, visit IRS.gov and search Choosing a Preparer.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We continue with Maxim Furek, focusing on the Philadelphia experiment, and don't just say, hey guys, it's all fiction. Some of it might be, some of it probably is. But lots of real things were going on. You were ready to respond to something Tim said, Maxim, then I have something else to bring up. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I did want to talk about the, I had reached out to the National Archives. This was, let me see here, 1988. But this was from Richard A. von Donhoff. And here's his official response to me. He said, this replies to your letter of November 1988 regarding the so-called Philadelphia experiment. As far as the Department of the Navy can determine, the fictitious story of the teletransportation of a destroyer, USS Eldridge, from the Delaware River off the League Island Navy Yard to Hampton Roads and back in 1943 began as a practical joke among staff members of the Naval Research Laboratory here in Washington. The humorous commentary on a theoretical paper on electromagnetism got out of hand and soon achieved the status of fact and legend. For years, the Navy Department has categorically denied the Philadelphia experiment, but the legend persists. I hope that this answers your questions on this matter. Sincerely, Richard A. von Donhoff, Military Reference Branch, Textural Reference Division. So that's what I got from the government. So they're saying that it was just a practical joke. So what do you think of that?
Well, I suppose a joke goes awry and you never know what's going to happen from it. It just seems to me, the way I thought of it is that there were ways to develop a preliminary early version of a possible stealth vessel, just like we have a stealth bomber now, but this is back during World War II, to make our vessels less visible. And that was a genuine story, and then it was exaggerated over the years to become this fantasy. That's my perception. Whether it was a joke or not, I wouldn't even know at this point.
Well, and even Moore said the same thing. He said that a lot of those guys, because of the electromagnetic currents, they were probably hallucinating, and they thought that they saw things. But there's something else that's even more interesting. According to the Naval History and Heritage Command, the Eldridge wasn't in Philadelphia in October 28, 1943. Eldridge was in New York Harbor, and then November the 2nd, it went to Norfolk, and then November 3rd, it was on its way to Casablanca. So it was over in the other part of the world. And the same thing with the Furuset, and that's the ship. Carl Allen claimed that he was a merchant marine on the Furuset, but that was not in Philadelphia in October of 43. That left Norfolk in October, and it went to Africa. It arrived in Africa November the 12th. So it was not around for that. And again, this is with the Naval History and Heritage Command. They claim that those two vessels were couldn't have been there. Also, they claim that the technology, the science of teleportation does not exist, so that thing couldn't have happened. They didn't address the degaussing thing, and that's just interesting that they didn't, because, I mean, it's a fact. I mean, there's, you know, there's no question about that. You know, Allied shipping was taking a heavy toll from German U-boats, and we had to find a way to go and sort of, you know, deal with those torpedoes and the underwater mines, the sea mines. So the degaussing was something that was devised, in, I believe, in Canada. And it's something that worked. According to the legend, it was Tesla who designed the generators that replaced aboard the Eldridge. And that comes from Al Bielak. With Einstein and Tesla, there were a lot of interesting things that happened. And, you know, with invisibility projects, with time travel projects, et cetera. So, you know, I don't know, you know, where the truth begins and the fantasy, or the truth ends and the fantasy begins. But, you know, there's a lot of players here. And again, during World War II, everybody was experimenting with things. And we even talk about, you know, like I'm originally from Pennsylvania. You know, we had the Kecksburg UFO flap of 1965. You know, some people think it was that German Tim Beckley, I think, wrote a book, Tim, about that, about the, what is it, the bell, the Glocken, whatever.
Die Glocken.
Yeah. That supposedly that might have been what we saw in 65 in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, that it wasn't a Soviet Union or American satellite, but maybe it was this time travel device from Nazi Germany. So I don't know, but you got to love this stuff. So
don't tell Stan Gordon that.
I know. You guys have the best job in the world.
Well, you know, I should say that the identification of the ship involved with the Philadelphia experiment as the Eldridge was a fairly recent addition to the whole mythology, and it may have originated with William Moore's book. I don't remember offhand right at the moment. There is no mention of the ship being the Eldridge in any of the original writings about the experiment, you know, from Carl Allen or Morris Jessup. So it's you know, it's no wonder that the record showing the Eldridge not being in Philadelphia, not corresponding to, you know, what the mythology says, that the Philadelphia experiment took place, because, you know, I think the jury is still out on whether or not that was even the ship involved.
Well, Fred Tracy believed that they, the Eldridge and the Wiki-Watchee changed their logbooks and everything, so they just changed the name. So what happened to the, what we thought was the Eldridge was actually the Wiki-Watchee. So, you know, it'd be very difficult to go and look that up. Again, it's smoke and mirrors. It's you know, it's a game. It's a, you know, they're You know, we're getting bamboozled. But Fred Tracy said that. And Fred Tracy said that, you know, at the end, they took the Wikiwachi, you know, the ship, and they exploded it, and then they buried the parts in the deserts of Arizona. That's what Fred Tracy said. So his story is pretty interesting too. But Fred died. He died from some sort of radiation thing, and he always believed that he contracted this from those degaussing experiments that happened aboard the ship. He gave me a name of some of his crew members on the Antietam, and I contacted them, and every single one of them, you know, they had either passed or they were someplace else, and they didn't remember, hearing Admiral Forrestal's directive about, you know, the Philadelphia experiment actually taking place. So I wasn't able to confirm or collaborate, you know, what Fred Tracy told me. So
there you go. Listen, we were mentioning this character, Carl Allen.
Mm-hmm.
We should focus more on that guy because he was a fascinating participant in all this craziness. What do you know about him?
Well, first of all, he's from New Kensington, Pennsylvania. That's out there by Stan Gordon. And when you take a look at Pennsylvania, there's a place called Chestnut Ridge that's just outside of Pittsburgh. Just a whole lot of weirdness taking place there. Kecksburg, for example. Most Bigfoot sightings are out there in Chestnut Ridge. And Pennsylvania's number three, allegedly, in Bigfoot sightings after Washington State and California. But also, not only Bigfoot sightings, but Bigfoot sightings along with UFO sightings. And Stan Gordon documents all of that. So anyway, Carl Allen Allende was from New Kensington, Pennsylvania. That's out in that neck of the woods. And what he did was he started to go and take copies of Morris Jessup's The Case for the UFO, and he put all these annotations there in three different colors. And it looked like there were three different people conversing, one of whom seemed to be an alien, and I forget the person's name.
We'll persist with Carl Allen, or whoever he was, with Gene, Maximum, and Tim, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So we have the three colored annotations of M.K. Jessup's The Case for the UFO, of which Carl Allen was responsible. One you said was allegedly or implied might be an alien?
Yeah. And, you know, I've been looking over some of these, the annotated editions of The Case for the UFO and reading some of the stuff, and it's just like, a lot of it is just like really like just nonsensical. I mean, it doesn't show me that Carl Allen knew anything about the unified field theory. You know, he claimed that Einstein taught him this, you know, claimed that he was a merchant marine and everything. But anyway, what happened was, and this is where it got really interesting, Carl Allen or Carlos Allende sent, and this was like in the mid-50s, he sent a package to the Office of Naval Research, and he titled it Happy Easter. And what it was a copy of the Case for the UFO with all of his annotations. So they called Morris Jessup in, and there were just, I think, two naval officers or assistants, and they were just asking him about this, and do you know anything about this? And Morris Jessup said, yeah, this is, I've been getting all these letters from this guy named Carl Allen, and this looks like his handwriting. So what they did was they took the Case for the UFO, they sent it down to this printer down in Texas, and they published this. It was called the Vero edition, so it had all those annotations there. And I guess they thought there was something to it, but in retrospect, when you read it, you know, there really wasn't. But, you know, what happened was that one person, you know, Carl Allen, a.k.a. Carlos Allende, sort of jump-started this. And in William Moore's book, The Philadelphia Experiment, I mean, there's so much place, so much effort in the text placed on Carl Allen and his involvement with Morris Jessup. I mean, that takes a good part of the book. And then looking at Einstein's unified field theory, you know, where he was trying to theoretically merge gravity with electromagnetism. And if we could do that, we could have these anti-gravity devices. And, you know, that's the holy grail. That's what everybody's sort of looking for. That would be, that would turn the world upside down, you know, as far as for propulsion and everything. But that never happened. The Einstein's theory never was proven. It's just a theoretical theory. But Carl Allen claimed that Einstein taught him that unified field theory. In the end, he was a drifter. He was charismatic. They said he was mysterious and hard to find, and actually he wasn't hard to find at all. I mean, they were able to track him down. And it seems that Carl Allen had some mental issues. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, here again, I think is much ado about nothing, although the military thought there might have been something here, and they wanted to find out. They wanted to make sure that they weren't, you know, missing something. And so they called Jessup in, and evidently not a whole lot came out of that meeting other than they printed up a million copies of the Bureau edition, you know. And
that is the weirdest thing in the world.
I know.
That book. That is so weird. And, you know, as I said, the book had been reprinted. I gave Berlitz a copy, and as you mentioned, William Moore spent a lot of time in the Philadelphia Experiment taking stuff and hints off that copy. That is from my copy of the book. So okay. I really should have gotten more than a credit. I think I should have gotten a check.
Yeah.
It wasn't a million copies. They printed like maybe 40 at the most. Very, very few.
Yeah. But they're out there. Then they're being reproduced again. You can get those. And you mentioned Gray Barker. He sort of had a knack for, you know, reaching out to some of these obscure writers and republishing their books or just publishing them. So, like, I could see him being the person who did this. You said that he had his own edition of The Case for the UFO, correct? The Bureau edition?
Gray Barker. That's the one. He sent me that, yes.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, yeah.
Gray Barker, by the way, he had his own offset printing press. After being in the publishing business for some years, I visited him once at his home in Clarksburg, West Virginia. This would be like 1964. And that offset press never, ever worked properly. The copy, it was always a little bit light on one side, a little bit dark on another side. Could never get it fine-tuned correctly. But yeah, he printed lots of things. He latched on to a lot of stories that many people didn't take seriously, and he tried to make hay of them. And part of that is because Barker himself had kind of this mixed relationship with the UFO field. On one hand, he believed something was going on. On the other hand, he'd make fun of it, or at least try to profit from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he ran with Mothman. He did the same thing with Men in Black. And I'm trying to think, Al Bender, correct?
Albert K. Bender. Now, the Man in Black, he had a book published by a real publisher, Gray Barker, called
They Knew. That was the first one.
Yeah. In 1954, Barker wrote a book called They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers, had a real publisher. And in that book, he talks about this young UFO researcher, Albert K. Bender, who set up a flying saucer club. In those days, there weren't many flying saucer clubs, so if any got publicity, they could build a very big membership. So Bender had his magazine, I think it's called UFO Review, and in one issue he says, in so many words, I think I've got a handle on the solution to the UFO mystery, or the flying saucer mystery, as it was referred to, and I'll have something in the next issue. Then he tells Barker that three men in black came over to him, confirmed his knowledge, and basically told him to stay quiet. So he shut down his organization. Now, this gets crazy. Remember, this is a legitimate book. They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers, published by a real publisher before Gray Barker got into the business himself. And when Bender finally came around to telling his story, Barker published a book called Flying Saucers and the Three Men. That's the one we mentioned, by Bender, heavily edited by Barker. Barker had distinctive writing style, you could tell. Bender claimed, quote-unquote, the three men were really aliens from the planet Kayak.
Mm.
K-A-Z-I-K, pronounced Kayak. Silent Z, I think. I don't know if that was a joke or not. I met Bender during this period when he gave a lecture in New York. The lecture was held at a monthly meeting sponsored by the one and only James W. Mosley in New York City. And he seemed like a perfectly sincere guy. honestly trying to report something he didn't understand. And he put it in the hands of government agents or presumed government agents because he didn't want you to know he was a contactee. I have no idea what happened. I do know that some years later, Bender and his wife moved to L.A. He lived to a ripe old age and very intelligently stopped talking about flying saucers. I don't know what to say about that. As far as the Mothman prophecies, of course, John Keel wrote that book. It was made into a movie, a fictionalized version. And Barker wrote a book on the same topic called The Silver Bridge.
Right, right.
But The Silver Bridge was more of an allegorical version of what happened as opposed to Keel writing something that was a straight reporting effort.
Mm-hmm.
So what can I say?
Yeah, the Bender was from Duryea, Pennsylvania, which is right up the road from me, northeastern Pennsylvania. So interesting. His narrative started to get a little bit out there, and I'm trying to think of what he was saying. I don't know if he was talking about time travel. No, he was going to, here's what it was. He talked about going to Antarctica. That's right. I think he was visiting the aliens in Antarctica. I think that was what he was saying. They sent him there, and they were revealing things. So after the Men in Black thing, it was the Antarctica thing. And that's what it was, Hellbender. But yeah, and then he went to he went from Duryea, Pennsylvania, to Antarctica, and then to L.A. So that's the Hellbender story.
It became even more interesting in a sad way. Barker died in the 1980s, I believe. And as far as the Three Men in Black, they made the Three Men in Black, or the Men in Black, into a graphic comic book. The graphic comic book was purchased by Hollywood, and they've been, what, four MIB movies, Men in Black, yes. 1, 2, 3, plus Men in Black International, which starred the guy who plays Thor. More to come in our next segment. I don't know where we're going with this, with Gene Steinberg. Maxim Furek and Tim Swartz, you're in.
The Panicast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you love reading about the mysteries of the universe? Do you wonder what secrets are hidden in the shadows of our own planet? If so, you won't want to miss these two amazing books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll explore the world of the mimics of man, beings that can look like us but are not. They've been among us since the beginning of history, hiding in plain sight, influencing our culture in ways we can scarcely imagine. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence, and Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll discover the so-called hard evidence of UFOs that's been available for study this entire time, but for the most part has been ignored. These two books will open your eyes to a hidden reality that has been right in front of our eyes all along. That's Mimics, The Others Among Us, and Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. Available now on Amazon.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.